What's going on, everybody? Scuba Steve here, and I'm just wondering, are y'all subscribed to the Patreon? If not, what are you waiting for? We upload about 3 to 4 episodes a week on our Patreon, and we got a whole bunch of content that you guys are missing out on, man. So make sure you guys go to the link tree on our bios, on our Twitter, and on our Instagram, and you can find all of our stuff that will lead you to our Patreon and to our merch store. Go get you some socks, t-shirts, something. Yeah, man. Gotta go get some gear. But let's get the show started.
Either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Why the fuck did I press record it right before I cleared my throat? That was stupid.
Classic.
Welcome to another episode of Inside the Mind of a Blurred. I am Scuba Steve, and I am joined by Double O.
Yep.
And Bo. So we got a small group. Oh, my bad. We got a small group today. Everybody flaked on us. Cam is learning how to swim. Johnny and Kid are still on hiatus. Hydro is napping. Rob went to Dubai. You know, Keisha.
Dubai things.
Here too. You know what I'm saying? So we decided we was going to do some kind of cool, some kind of special that we ain't did in a while. We're going to bring back the draft. For the draft or whatever, this time we are going to do video games. The video game draft, and I think this would be fun because we here with pretty much the owners of Gaming with a Blurred, so you know what I'm saying. I think we might have some gems in here. So we are going to do it based off of video games individually, not just franchises. So if somebody says Grand Theft Auto, they'll say Grand Theft Auto 5 or 3 or whatever. And same with Pokemon, they'll say which Pokemon game, and et cetera, et cetera. So we decided off screen the order of the draft, which means that Double O will have the number one pick, and he is on the clock right now.
Oh shit, don't joke.
For the best video game of all time. That's right, no pressure.
No pressure. Whew. God of War. Come on, man. Make this harder.
God of War.
So specifically, God of War, Ragnarok. So Ragnarok.
Okay.
The reason why I specifically pick Ragnarok, besides that I myself am, people who don't know, I do claim to be Norse pagan myself. Okay. I don't have the chain on me right now, but I do own a Thor's hammer. And I usually have a wolf ring on me, representing all three wolves, Skull, Hati, and Fenrir. The story was really great, and seeing Kratos, the Kratos that we know, the bloodthirsty human turned god, the god slayer, just come full circle and have such great character development. When he saw, you know, I guess obviously they're spoilers for the game. As far as story is concerned, not major spoilers, but him seeing Atreus trying to, you know, go after, essentially following his footsteps while killing the original, his unique self in the process was a no-go for him. He's like, son, you not about to follow my path. You have your own path, and me looking at you trying to follow my path made me realize how wrong my path is. And he was like, while that rage and war worked for me, that's not your path, and that's okay. And he's like, embrace it. Because, man, yo, he was woofing out, bearing out, all that good stuff. So yeah, I said God of War, Ragnarok specifically, that's my pick.
Okay,
for this round.
I haven't played Ragnarok yet. So I'm gonna have to. I mean, I know it's fire because
enjoy it when you do. That's all I gotta say.
I was about to say because I know God of War is always the shit. So yeah, but Bo, you have the second pick. What is the second best?
You got the ball, Bo.
Second best game of all time, Bo. No pressure here.
Tupac.
Second best game of all time. I would say, for me, it's going to be Nier Automata. Okay. If you have watched anime, basically the anime does a very good job in portraying what it is. But so basically the part that the anime has got into was the... Well, I ain't going to spoil too much, but basically they end up finding the truth about the world. And yeah. Basically these androids are basically like being like trying to like, you know, I guess the word I'm looking for is being human. And, you know, when they realize that they can't get what they want at the end and they just lose everything towards the end, it just makes you feel sad and realize that, you know, these two people are trying their best to save the world. Only these two, and there's two people trying to, but these two are trying their very hardest to save what is whatever is left of the dying planet. And things ain't going their way. It's just one catastrophe after another. It's just like, man. And then the music would get you, man. The music would just get you. Just be like saying, like, you know, because you know when you like when you watch an anime or play a game, you just play that perfectly tuned music, just like get you like close to warrior tears. I'm like, man, like, I can't taste them. Why I gotta keep on playing this game, man? When is it gonna end? Like, is there a happy ending to this game? I'm like, nah, man, there ain't no happy endings. This game was just fucking tear jerking all the way. But yeah, if you haven't played Nier Automata, I will give you a shot.
Called Nier Automata?
Yeah, Nier Automata.
Hey, you type it in the private chat, by the way.
Yeah. And also, FYI, the people who try Nier Automata, to get to the real ending, you have to play the game 3 times. So, but the game is like, the gameplay is different every time you play it. So you don't get to like experience the same gameplay. Yeah, it's going to be different. The first gameplay, you play as 2B. And then second one, you play as 9S. And then the third one, you play as 2A. So okay. It's different, like, stories. Different, same story, but told from different androids. And I'll put it right here. Nier Automata.
Nier Automatopoeia.
I've never heard of this game, but it sounds fun.
It's a good game. Sounds great. Oh, man, it's really good.
Okay. So, it is on me, and I am going to have to go with a classic. It is called Def Jam Fight for New York. One of my favorite games ever. I would love to see them come out with Def Jam Fight for New York, like as a remaster, or even like just come out with a new version of a Def Jam game. But I don't know which rappers they would like really have on there. But that game was just like really, really dope. Just playing with all these rappers and like it was like for the culture in a sense, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it was a fighting game. It was a battle royale type thing where you could like have couch play with 4 people and everybody is just kind of like going at it like a mosh pit. And it just, that shit was just like in everybody's household. Like that shit went platinum in my house. like, and then the story mode was like really dope too. Playing with Method Man, playing with your character and then like growing that relationship with Method Man and Ludacris and everybody like that. Going against fucking Fat Joe, causing hella problems, bro. Like Fat Joe used to piss me off, bro. And then when you had that handicap match where they had already been jumping Method Man, so you had to fight against Fat Joe and Busta Rhymes, bro. That That stage used to piss me off, bro. Like, but Def Jam Fight for New York was like just one of my all-time favorite games, bro. So I'm just gonna have to go ahead and take that in the first round before somebody snipes it. And yeah, man. So that's the first round. God of War Ragnarok, Nier Automata, and then Def Jam Fight for New York. So the second round starts with 00 again. What do we got?
So for the second round, I'm going to take a Metal Gear Solid 5.
Okay.
Trying to remember what the... Why am I forgetting the actual title?
Is it Zero or Phantom Pain?
Phantom Pain. PP. Okay. Now that I remember. So Phantom Pain. The storytelling was immaculate. The way that they did... I'm just gonna spoilers for anyone who hasn't played the game. This is your warning to skip ahead if you are looking to play it. Granted, it is an old game now, but it is a really fun game to play, and I wouldn't want to ruin the story for somebody who is looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. So that's your spoiler tag. So in the game. How a lot of games like to make you, the player, be an integral part of the actual game. You end up finding out at the end that the person that you were playing with the whole time was some random soldier that Big Boss, the person, well, Naked Snake, who you play with as Metal Gear Solid 3, who becomes Big Boss after killing the boss, orchestrates a whole incident where you got knocked out. You were definitely an elite soldier. You got surgery done on you to make you look really close to him. Like you were almost a doppelganger, essentially. You were carrying things out. Like you were brainwashed to believe you were him. And you find out towards the end, because you find recordings and stuff of, you know, proof of this. And you're just like, your character is essentially like, fuck it, I'm him. Literally, like, yo, I'm him. And apparently the big boss that you take out in Metal Gear 2 at the NES game, mm-hmm. is that guy from Metal Gear Solid 5. Because you end up meeting the real big boss, who is old, in Metal Gear 4, Guns of the Patriots, which is the end of the actual Metal Gear franchise, the story. So, like, to find out that essentially you yourself are, you know, like
the enemy,
the badass, like you're the legend. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That as a player, you're just like, that's fucking awesome. I'm the badass. Like, part of that legend is me, the player, and you know, I don't, this not taking a pick, but just doing a shout out to another game that kind of did it as well, which was Halo, was it 3?
It was.
No, Reach. Halo Reach.
Reach, yeah.
Well, Reach made you like the GOAT, the legend that sacrificed himself at Reach. Ooh. We all remember Reach.
Halo Reach was so fun.
So, yeah. I 1000% agree, and that shit is goated. So Metal Gear Solid 5, bam, round 2.
I started Metal Gear Solid 5, but I didn't know what was going on with the story, so I was like, okay, I'm gonna take a break.
Yeah, it's a prequel to a lot of stuff. So you don't really gotta know anything.
Oh damn, I stopped because I was like, I'm gonna watch a YouTube video and figure out what's going on.
Yeah, it's a prequel. So.
Prequel.
All right, Bo.
Let's see. So my second pick would be what game? I actually, you know what? Let's go with this. So out of all the Final Fantasies I played, I would say the best one for me was 13. Final Fantasy 13. Okay. Reason being because, well, it was just like a lot of emotional put into 13. Like, if you play 13, I realize, like,
that's the one with lightning, right?
Yeah, one with lightning. Yeah,
that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. The thing about that is like Lightning, who basically was this soldier working for like the, I can't remember what basically it the commander was basically involved, but yeah, they kind of involved. So basically they were involved and then a bunch of other people was involved in it. And they, you know, basically two of the characters in your team was part of a future that, you know, they were trying to like save the future or something like that. And as you play through the story, not many of them die, but spoiler alert. So basically two of the characters in your team are like, I guess they know what's going to happen and are trying to prevent from what's happening. So as you play through the story, you get to understand each character as you play along, and the type of things that Lightning is like doing or had to go through is kind of like, I'm like, man, like you got a rough life, like, you know, being like trying to please, like trying to like, you know, be who you are and like save the world and all that kind of stuff. You have like, and basically people are looking up to you and stuff. So I'm like, shit just going down. Like, do you feel like the whole world's about to end? Like, basically the storytelling is what gets me. That's why, that's like games like Tales of Arise, like shit, like Tales of Arise is a perfect example of what Final Fantasy XIII did. Like, the story was on par. Everything felt like it was like, oh, it's like, this is it. This is going to be the end. Or you gotta fight for your life to save the world, the universe, what kind of stuff. Like, that's how, like, it is for me. And I would say if you play Final Fantasy XIII, I would say it's a very good game to play. Granted, I beat it when it came out on 360. It had two discs, which obviously was still a thing in 360, in 360 era. So you want to play a Final Fantasy game? Because Final Fantasy games are like, I don't know how long they are now, but I think they reduced how long it takes to, like, play them. But granted, that's still, like, over probably, like, 48 hours to beat, so... but yeah, I would say 13 was good. Lightning had a good character story. And also, I would say, like, the games that came out that was prequel to, well, was it prequel or a continuation of 13? But basically, they had, like, Final Fantasy 13X and then Final Fantasy 13X2 or something like that. I can't remember what it was called, but it was actually, those games were actually good. So basically, the whole 13, like, series was good. I liked it, so. You enjoyed if you played it in the 360. I think you still play it in the Xbox now, the Xbox Series X. So, I think I was trying to like bring out all the Final Fantasy games. I think you like download it on the other one time it was out for games for gold in three on the 360. But yeah, Final Fantasy 13 is a good game. Recommend it. I know I ain't gonna pay Final Fantasy 17 remake because, well, obviously. It's just a remake, and although it was good, it didn't hit as well as 13. So, fight me.
For me, since you guys kind of talked about prequels, a game that I feel like doesn't get a lot of love because of the fact that it is by Rockstar and they have focused all their attention on something else, but Red Dead Redemption 2 was like chef's kiss for me. That was like one of my favorite games for a long time. I played the story probably about three times. So Red Dead Redemption 1 obviously is about John Marston and him going to, you know, the marshals made him go find his old gang members, and, you know, he basically found them all and hunted them down and, you know, killed them and stuff like that. So that's what the whole first game is about. Well, the second one, you play from Arthur Morgan's perspective, a new character that they don't mention, but Arthur Morgan is in the gang that John Marston is in as well. And you get to see like all of the gang interact with each other and everything like that. So you play with them and it is really, really dope. Same with the spoiler alert, you know what I'm saying? You find out why you can't play with Arthur Morgan and you start playing with John Marston for the second one because he gets sick or whatever. So, but yeah, I really loved Red Dead Redemption 2. And then when you watch, like, when you know the story and then you find out the story from the Red Dead Redemption 1's perspective, it's really, really good. I just really, really fucked with Red Dead Redemption 2, and I like the way that it ended with the U.S. Marshals kind of staking out the spot of John Marston for like a couple of months and stuff like that too, because it was like leading on to right into Red Dead Redemption 1. So that's one of my favorite games, Red Dead Redemption 2. And I just threw that out there because you guys threw out some prequels that y'all thought were dope. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is a perfect time for me to use this one. So, yeah, Red Dead Redemption 2 for me. So we got Metal Gear Solid 5, Final Fantasy 13, and then Red Dead Redemption 2. Please, Rockstar, update the servers so we can play stuff instead of, you know, focusing on Grand Theft Auto 5, which is now, what, 17 years old now? I don't know. Like, it just feels like that game been out forever, and they keep on updating the servers, and they don't care about Red Dead Redemption 2 at all. But round three, 00. So what do you have for round three?
I'm torn between, they're from the same franchise, but I'm torn between two because they're good. And I'm talking about more so of the story. So I think I have my pick clearly, but I will mention the other one. So it's Devil May Cry 3, Dante's Awakening. And I was putting it up against DMC, the revamped. I forgot what studio it was that did it. But the revamped DMC.
Ninja Studio. Was it Ninja?
I think so. But they I wanted to give them a mention as well because their redoing of the story was really good. I liked where they were heading, especially because one of the biggest I don't know if it's controversies or it's that the character themselves was just like really sought after. So a lot of the story is supposed to center around Virgil because Virgil's fall is kind of crazy. Because you get his story backwards in the first iteration of Devil May Cry. Mm-hmm. Because you meet Virgil in Devil May Cry 1. Because he is Neo Angelo. The Thunder Knight that you get the Thunder Sword from.
I was going to say Maya Angelou.
Because he's brainwashed. So it's funny because a lot of people, like, they liked the character and they were wondering why. So the way that Capcom did it was kind of nice because I guess they knew they were going to work on at least a couple of sequels to the game because they kind of dropped little hints. And they're like, why is it that Dante is super familiar with this particular, you know, person? And then you find out that that was his brother who was brainwashed by Mundus, the overall bad guy. So Dante's Devil May Cry 3, Dante's Awakening is essentially how Dante awakened his devil powers. I believe his brother as well. And then they got bequeathed to them their respective swords. Dante, I forgot what Dante's sword's name was. Was it Alistair?
Yes, around that.
I know that Virgil's was Yamato. Huh. Which makes sense, as it's named after the famous swordsman. Or Yamamoto.
Rebellion.
So he so Dante got Rebellion and Virgil got Yamato. Which Yamato looks cooler, so it's a samurai sword. In the height of it all, they fight each other. Actually, Virgil's dumbass triggers Dante's devil trigger because he stabs Dante. Dante at that point I don't think he even knew. But then Virgil, like I said, they awaken each other's devil triggers like dumbasses. And it was really cool to watch. I'm like, not a lot of people. So a lot of people don't really like the Devil May Cry series because it's hack and slash for the most part. But I will tell you, if you like good lore, watch the cutscenes, watch videos. You'll enjoy it.
I was going to say, I haven't played Devil May Cry, but I have heard this debate and I want to know if you have a take on it.
Okay.
Dang, I forgot his name. That quick. Damien, right? Was it Damien?
Dante
or Bayonetta?
Who wins? Damien Black name. Okay.
Dante versus Banner.
That's a weird thing, but I feel like Dante's just a devil, half devil at that. And Bayonetta is magic. It's magic is weird when you do power scaling.
Because did they do that on a death battle, or was that just something I just made up? But I saw
they've done Superman versus Shazam, so that's where that argument kind of comes from, because like it isn't about feet, like if because Shazam is magic, like that's the out sometimes, like oh, that's Superman's weakness, so because he is his weakness, and is he stronger? Like I don't know. I don't know if that's the horse I back. So
yeah.
That's why I'm just like, if we're going by that, then I have no issues being like, yeah, Bayonetta all the way. But I don't know. That's a tough one.
I saw people debating it. I wonder, I gotta check and look and see if that's a death battle. Because I saw people.
It's a like death battle. There's a death battle for it. It came out like in 2016. It actually is. Yeah, there's a dead battle for it. So Dante versus Brenner, dead battle. And they went into detail about it. So I'm not remember it. Went into detail of who will win. I believe Dante won at the end, based on like the power and the fist he's done and everything. So
I'm gonna have to check that out, because I do want to know more about like those characters. Like that's how I find out more about those characters, is by watching Death Battle. And then I'll watch, like, you know what I'm saying, those breakdowns and be like, okay, now I'll go back and play one of the games or something like that. Boo, what you got for round three?
Round three, I'm going to go with a shooter. Just the story. Okay. I'm going to go with the original Modern Warfare 2.
Good pick. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
I like, yeah, so... everyone, if you play Modern Warfare 2,
I already know what you're gonna say, bro. Everyone
was in tears, man. Dude, I was in tears. I like, hold on, man.
For the mission leading up to it.
The mission leading up to it, like, look, everything towards the end, like the whole struggle, the distant everything, they were like, okay, cool.
Hold this fucking mountain dream. What the fuck, man?
Yeah. I was like, look, okay, like everyone's like, it's like, you know, the two are like running, like, okay, cool, my neck is dominant, so I got you, okay, and then get to the plane, I'm like, yeah, it's like, okay, they'd be like, got a puppy, but like, yeah, like, okay, bam, I'm like, wait, what's going on? I'm like, bam, whoa, hold on, what's going on? Tell me, is it real? And then the whole blood and everything, like, they just tossed me like a fucking dead bag. I'm like, hold on, man, nah. That shit was painful. Seeing
Gold Ghost Eagle die, has gone rogue.
Yeah, seeing Ghost die was just, man.
Broke
that was
heart.
Painful. That was painful, man. I
was like, bro, what about them walking into the airport just going, remember?
Bro, oh, yeah. No Rush. Remember No Rush? And, bruh, that bro. Was brutal. Like, the internet went, they never went crazy after, for that scene. Because they were like, it's too graphic. They like have like,
they gave you the option to not play it. Yeah.
Yeah, they gave you option. Like, yeah.
You know, it was what's crazy about how crazy we are. We all played it.
No doubt. We all played it.
We had the option to not kill innocent people in the airport. And what did you
do? Said, fuck it, let's go.
What did you villains do? You did it anyway. Shame on you. y'all not good people if you're listening. Because if you're listening to this and you already know about the scene, that means you played it too. So you're not good people. Go ahead, bro. My bad.
It was really good. I enjoyed it. The gameplay, everything that led up to like that scene was. Who the hell is this?
No.
There was random kids on my door, so I'm like trying to figure out what the fuck they were doing. Anyway, I figured that out. So Yes. Back to what I was talking about. So yeah, the gameplay and everything to lead up to this, it was so great. And then the final part where you have to like basically take out the guy to take out Ghost was so satisfying. Mm-hmm. Like that was like the only Call of Duty that I know that they put a lot of like story into like the game, like in Call of Duty games. I mean the new reboot for Modern Warfare 1 and 2, the story is actually good, but it wasn't like back then, like the stories that they put, like the heart, like you know, the story and everything that they put into like it back then was actually a lot better than what the reboot is. Although the reboot doesn't kill Ghost, so that's a good thing. We don't get to relieve Ghost dying again. Or anyone dying. Because we ain't trying to get our heart broken twice, okay? But yeah, the multiplayer was actually really good as well. You know, that's when Nuke came into the game. Everyone was like, let's go for the Nuke and end the game. And every time you get a Nuke, it ends the game. Like, everyone was just trying to get the Nuke. Like, you know, you get Nuke, you end the game. Whenever you know you're losing, as long as you get a Nuke, you win the game. All it takes to win a game was a Nuke. You get a Nuke, you won. And then you get a Nuke, you can negotiate winning or losing. You'd be like, hey, man, I got a Nuke. Wait, you got a Nuke? All right, hold on, man. Look.
Hold on a minute, sir.
I really want that win, man. Hold on a minute, player. I really want that win, man. Nah, man. I work too hard for this. I'm going to Nuke every one of you, bastard. Ding, ding. Yeah, something that you know is over. I'm like, what? Man, World War II was the best game that came out on the Modern Warfare series back then.
Someone's at the entryway doorbell.
That's that service right there.
But yeah, that's my pick, Modern Warfare 2. And you know, go ahead, Steve, and let me see who is at my door that won't leave me alone.
They playing Ding Dong Ditch. All right, so for me, if you guys listen to our podcast, then you guys know how I feel about time travel. So a game that I really, really enjoyed was this game called Quantum Break. I really enjoyed that game, mainly because like I like the cutscenes where like it was like live action cutscenes, and I thought that shit was like fire as fuck. It was like the characters would be doing stuff and then all of a sudden they turn into live action and have those cutscenes, and then they would go back. And then you also can choose the fate of like which route you wanted to take and stuff like that. Quantum Break was just really, really dope. I enjoy playing the freaking, just the little different aspects that they do with the time and everything like that as well. As far as like you get to like kind of, I guess, like skip through whatever, like you like pause time for like a second and you can run. You have kind of like how they skip dash or whatever. Like that game was like different for me. And then not only playing a game, but then when you choose your options, it shows all your friends and which options that they chose and stuff like that. They went this route, you went this route, whatever. I remember playing it, and then I would see freaking Bo and fucking like freaking what's my guy's name? Tyler. From my, I would see them and I'd be like, oh, everybody went the opposite way but me.
I would add to that, the new Devil May Cry by Ninja Box, you said it was called, Bo?
Ninja Turi.
Okay, so by them, so that had a thing too when they flipped you. So there were two modes, like you did one side with Dante, then you flipped to the other side to do with the other characters. So when you would flip to the other characters, it would show. Not for this one. I think it was Devil May Cry 5. When you played with Dante, there are certain sections where Nero, the other protagonist, appears, and he's like doing stuff in the background. So it would show your friend's score for that board, and it'll show like their ghost, Dante or Nero, like in the background fighting.
Oh yeah,
that's not what they were doing.
Yeah. So it was kind of cool.
That's kind of cool. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, that's the fire. Pick up
Quantum Break. Did you ever play Quantum Break?
I remember seeing the trailer and being really interested in it, and I have no idea why I wasn't able to pick it up.
Is it still on Game Pass? I know it was on Game Pass.
It's on Game Pass, last I checked. I don't know if they removed it or not. So
yeah, because that's how I played it on Game Pass. And shout out, not shout out, RIP to Lance Reddick as well. He was in that game as well. Mm-hmm. But it had like a pretty good cast. Like it had a pretty, it had old dude that was Iceman and X-Men. Who else did they have? It had like four people in it who was like all big actors. And I was like, yo, this is like an all-star cast. And then they turned around and those live action cutscenes was really good. And then a lot of people told me they was like, if you like this game, you'll like Control. Because it was from the same franchise or whatever, but I didn't really get into Control as much as I did with Quantum.
I wonder, did you ever get to play the game Wanted based on the movie?
No, I didn't get to play Wanted.
I heard
that was fire as well. But let's do round four and a round three recap. We have Devil May Cry 3, Modern Warfare, and Quantum Break. Double O, start us off for this round.
So for this round, what would I go with? I might go Bo's route. I might do Final Fantasy. I'm going to go with what I feel like is kind of, people have a weird mixed feelings about it, so I'll go with Final Fantasy X. So the ending of Final Fantasy X is what really kind of pissed people off, because so there's a possibility you can interpret that Tidus at the end, spoiler alert, there's a possibility that he could have just been a dream dreamt up by the Faith.
Oh, not a dream. It's all a dream.
Yeah. Like, they were just like, not that everything that happened was a dream. It was more like he himself was a dream. And that then throws into question a lot of the shit that happened to begin with. So, right at the beginning of the game, you're kind of introduced to the fact that people, when they die, don't necessarily immediately go into the afterlife. So, you're given two clues that that's not what happens. Tidus's mentor, who was only his mentor because he was his father's partner previous to the previous calamity that happened in Zanarkand. He mentors Tidus, and he's not really fazed by the stuff that happens at the beginning to you. And then there's one particular scene where Yuna, the white mage, the white summoning mage, is doing a ritual to send the dead souls back to, you know, to the afterlife. And Orin, who's Tidus' mentor, walks away from that scene, and you see that off of his jacket, souls are coming off, like soul particles. So you're just like, wait a minute. And then you find out, I think when you fight Lady Unaleska, that Orin died in that battle, I think, right? I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, Bo.
I think he died. It was Arin.
He dies to Lady Unaleska, right? Because I know that. Jack turns into the final Aeon for Braska, and that's how Jet dies. Well, you know, dies.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe that's how I went to.
We're gonna get flamed up by the crowd. We're wrong.
They'll be all right. We got to get more gaming people on our mob account anyway. So come on with it.
Yo, Aaron's gonna hear this and be like, I fucking hate y'all.
Like, why didn't you invite me? And like, well, this is a last minute thing.
And this was definitely a last minute thing. Bo. Second pick of round four.
For me, I'm going to go with Mass Effect 3. So,
okay.
Good choice.
I like that one.
Yeah. Everything that you did from Mass Effect 1 to 3 all comes back at you, because your choices. And then you're making the Mass Effect franchise transfer to each game. So for 1, 2, and 3, all your choices basically matter. And you get to see all your choices unfold towards the end of the game, or as, you know, basically you get to see the people that you end up saving and people who you, like, you know, didn't say, like, you know, you talk about everything. And then I believe in, like, in Mass Effect 3, they have, like, a DLC where all of them comes in one, like, comes again all together to, like, do a final a mission together or something like that. I can't remember. I never played DLC. But I played the story. The story was great. The story starts off really good because, basically, if, spoiler alert, so from Mass Effect 1 and 2, a lot of shit happened, and then Shepard is now, like, you know, in the court, of not in court, you know, trying to prove to these people that, you know, the, what they call it again, the alien battling race, the Reapers are coming to them. So basically, you know, they'll be like, how do you have proof of these Reapers? Do you know these Reapers? Next thing you know, Reapers are coming in and destroying the whole of the whole earth. And, like, you know, she's just going downhill, and then, you know, and it's like, well, you should listen to what I said, man. You should listen to what I said. You know, Reapers came, and now they're here destroying the whole earth. And, you know, Shepard is like, see this little kid in danger. Like, you gotta get to, Shepard's like, you gotta get safely with your parents. You gotta get safely. Like, I can't find my parents. That they know where to be found. And I need to go find my mommy. I'm like, and then, you know, kid just goes away, and then, you know, and then towards, like, the finishing prologue of the game, you see the kid go into the shuttle, but then gets shot down in the shuttle. I'm like, bro. And then that music just played. I'm like, bro, that was a fucking brutal beginning. Like, and then towards the end, a lot of people hated the ending of the Mass Effect 3. I obviously did not. Like, I mean, it was
the true ending was good. The Skittles ending, the different flavor Skittles ending.
Yeah.
And that's not a euphemism. Literally, there were like three, aside from the true ending, there was three colored endings.
Yeah.
Like, look it up. I don't.
Yeah,
yellow, red, and blue. I think.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I was about to say, whoa.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
They exterminated all the colors. Like, Mass Effect.
Not on this part.
And now the good thing about Mass Effect 3, they had a multiplayer type of deal that's kind of like Gears of War. Horde mode, but instead you're just fighting off like different factions of people who of like who like were a threat to like the unit to the galaxy. So yeah, like the Cerberus, the Reapers, and then the Git. So which is good because you gotta fight different factions and you gotta choose your own character. Like they have like different characters, that was cool. So they basically have different characters that you can choose from, because, you know, in the story mode you can only use Shepard at the whole place. So basically in the multiplayer, you can choose to be an Asari, you can choose to be a Get, you can choose to be, what's it called? You choose to be like a Salarian. You could use all different races. And what was cool is that every character that got released, all of them was free. So basically, you didn't pay for shit. Like, basically, they just gave out like every character's like DLC, new DLCs that came out was for new characters, new maps, new weapons. And it was cool. And they had like one where they had like the N7 operative. Man, the Shadow, my favorite character was Shadow. Okay. That motherfucker was fucking cool as well. With the sword, katana, everything. Look, I like that person. Like, look, and then you can like teleport and like stab someone and then teleport back. Like, dude, that game was the best Mass Effect game. Some people don't like the multiplayer. I personally did. I liked the multiplayer. It was like really fun. I play that shit every day. When new Call of Duty came out, like, Call of Duty, what? Man, fuck that game. I'm gonna play the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer. Like, it was so good. Like, But yeah, definitely Mass Effect 3 was my pick. Liked my ending, great ending. One thing I like, because, you know, I know Double O noticed the reporter from Mass Effect 1 and 2 that came and I was talking bullshit to your face. It always feels satisfying to see Shepard punch in the face. Like, and it was funny because when you try and punch it in the third one, she dodges the first time. She does it the first time. Like, yeah, I know your tactics. You missed them. And they came in the right hook. Bam! I'm like,
the whole left.
Yeah, definitely Mass Effect 3 was one of those game of the year for me. Never one best game ever. And I think they're trying to make it Mass Effect 4. They have like teasers for it already for like two years ago for N7 Day. So hopefully maybe next N7, which is November 7, they show more news about of it. So hopefully, you know, I won't mind it in Mass Effect 4 because Mass Effect Andromeda, it was great, but it kind of like went down south with the whole before when it launched. So, but yeah.
Okay. For me, I'm going to do another throwback game. I'm going to go with Crash Bandicoot Warped. This was the third iteration of the series. I really just fucking liked it because the first two games kind of like, it was just the, you know, the jumping and the spinning and splat. But like on this one, they ended up adding like the boat ride, the running from riding on that fucking tiger. The bazooka that they have on there, they added like a whole bunch of different things on there, and it just really, really made that game crazy and like really fun. I enjoyed trying to collect every freaking relic and stuff like that, because once you collected every relic, you get that like secret room up top and shit like that. Like, everything about that game was just amazing. I liked it. Cortex kept freaking failing, so finally the Ooga Booga brother finally stepped up and was like, fine, I'll do it myself, like Thanos and shit. Like, I really enjoyed that Crash franchise, but like that third one was really, really dope. I know a lot of people will say, oh, you're seeing the third one and not kart racing? Boo. But it's like, I don't really care for the racing games like that. racing games be outside of SSX tricky, like, racing games aren't really for me. But yeah, and then like they even had like him riding on the motorcycle and stuff like that. It was just like a really, really great game overall. I played that one a lot as a fucking 11-12 year old. I might be telling my age for you people that are a little younger, but I was like 11 or 12 when that came out, and I played that shit like clockwork. So yeah, Crash Bandicoot Warped was like one of my favorite ones, and I'm gonna go with that one for that round. I wanted to do a fighting game, and I was like, I don't know.
Didn't they like do like a remake for like the whole first three games or something? Yeah, like that?
I got it. So I got that because it was like that and Spyro, it was like a combination thing.
Yeah, collection edition, yeah.
I actually might play that on stream because people have been asking us why we don't stream anymore on the ItMob page. And I was like, oh, I didn't think y'all really cared. So
I honestly didn't think they cared at all. I'm like, oh.
When I was on Anime After Dark, people was all like, y'all stop streaming. Because I had said things that they need to bring back. And then one of the people got on stage, used to be Sleepy Owlet. I don't remember his name anymore because he changed his handle. But he was like, yo, y'all's streams used to be really cool. He was all like, the one that y'all had where you guys were all playing Left 4 Dead. And I was like, dang, they remember that? Like, me, Bo, and Cam were playing Left 4 Dead on there one time too. So it was like, dang, you remember, you was there a long time ago. You was like an OG. So I guess we should start streaming again. I'll give a password to everybody. And then whenever y'all playing a game that y'all want to do, y'all can just do it well on Twitch. So I guess we'll bring that back. I might stream all those crashes and spirals or whatever.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
That makes sense. Yeah.
All right. Round four is in the books, but Final Fantasy X making a second appearance, Final Fantasy franchise, Mass Effect 3, and then Crash Bandicoot Warped for me. Round five, double O.
So I'm going to take a page out of the same book, same as Steve, and I'm going to have to go with an old school adventure one, and I have two, so I'll save the other one for the next round. I really, really like both of these franchises, but I'm going to start with one, and I'm going to go with the Jaxxon Daxter series.
Ooh, okay. Jaxxon Daxter's fire.
So I'm like, I love the way they began the series. It's, you know, your I would say it's your typical, non-typical adventure platformer. Is awesome. The banter from Daxter all the time in all the games is hilarious. Jack and Daxter. Then the first one was just Jack. No, the first one was Jack and Daxter. Oh, Jack the other Daxter. One was Jack 2, and then mm-hmm. Jack 3, and then we got Daxter, the one that went to PSP. Then there was Jaxxon Daxter Racing. I know that was one.
They
of
all came out with yeah, a racing game out. After a while. I was like, bro, why?
Yeah. Yeah. And then I think we got Jack 4, which was the last one, if I remember correctly.
No, I think it was just Jack 3.
Was it 3?
Yeah. There was no Jack 4. If there was Jack 4, then I must have missed it, because there's no Jack
4. Like, probably. Let me do a quick search.
Yeah. I miss Jaxxon Daxter. I never played that one. I was a Ratchet & Clank guy.
Oh, okay. They never came out with it. They were planning to, but they never did it.
Yeah.
But Jack 3 was a really good ending. So for those who don't know, obviously all of this stuff should be spoiler. But
play the damn game.
So the funny thing is that so the whole time they're looking. So Daxter thinks he's cursed because in the first game he falls into a vat of I forgot the name of the substance, and he turns into an Otzel.
Yeah.
So. He thinks he's cursed and he wants to find a way to kind of turn himself back. Jack gets captured at the end of game one. Daxter fucking flat leaves him in the mm-hmm. beginning. Like you'll see mm-hmm. it in Jack 2 that they show you. Yeah. Cussing. Yeah, he flat leaves your ass to get experimented yeah. on.
He said, fuck that shit, I'm out. So I'm
now I remember. So what he fell into in game one, Daxter, was Eco. He fell into like Eco, a vat of Eco. So Jack in Jack 2 in the beginning gets captured. Daxter leaves him, flat leaves him. And Jack gets experimented on with Dark Eco. So to Daxter, if I remember correctly, the game Daxter from the PSP is what takes place between Jack... Right before Jack. I mean, no. What takes place in between the beginning of Jack 2 and when Daxter meets Jack again once he comes back a couple years later. So, yeah, he was experimental with Dark Eco. He turns into Dark Jack, and that's, you know, you have Dark Jack powers for the game. You end up finding out that, of course, like a yin and yang thing, he needs to... balance himself out. So in game three, you find dark light Eco, and you balance yourself out. You have a light form and a dark form. But the biggest turn of the whole game, which they've been hinting at throughout all the games, was that so Daxter, what he thought was a curse, was actually a blessing because he essentially got turned into a god. The Otzels are the precursors. They are the gods that they've been looking for the whole time. So unbeknown to Daxter, he was a god the whole time.
Yep.
It's me. I'm niggas.
That we yeah, for. Yeah. And, yo, and he was so funny. Like, whoever voiced that character, man, kudos to you. You made my childhood. So, Jack and Daxter.
Fair enough. Bo, what do you have for us?
I'm gonna go with a OG classic game. I'm gonna go with X-Men Legend.
Wow. Oh, nice, okay. Man, bro. That's a nice one.
Yep. There were the very first X-Men game that actually did very good for a four-player co-op game where you could use your favorite X-Men. Mm-hmm. And then with that, and that's also spawned like a bunch of also good games like the Marvel Ultimate Alliance. It spawned the good, from one or two, and then three was like it's a Switch exclusive, and it just kind of sucked. But people, I get flamed for saying that, but you know, I guess people don't know a good Marvel Ultimate Alliance when they see one. But anyway, X-Men Legend was good. It had a great story. You could use characters. And then I believe they had the two, which was the Apocalypse. And it was like, it's very good. Like, as the part two, they brought in like co-op. Like, you could use like, you could combine like two superpowers abilities to one. So basically, you could have like Cyclops and Wolverine have an ultimate together. Like Cyclops shoots his beam and Wolverine like reflects it with his like you know adamantium like claws, and you know it was a fun game to play, and I wish they actually brought it back because honestly that was like I said one of the best X-Men games that came out, for being honest. I mean that's actually I can't. I didn't really say that, but then again, those are only the good ones that came out. So, because I know there's some other X-Men games that came out that was related to the movie that I actually like a lot better. Now, well, not better, but multiplayer wise, that's the best multiplayer X-Men game. I liked it; it was good. You could play play your friends, explore players. Has like all the original X-Men, and then Part Two had more original X-Men that you could play as or play with. So. It was a fun game, like, and they have like side quest stories as well. Like, you know, how Wolverine became who he is. Like, you know, you could do side stories, which is kind of cool. That way, people can understand what each X-Men went through to get their powers. So they had the side stories, which was pretty cool. But yeah, X-Men Legend was the game to play back then. Like, it was. Was the best X-Men game like you know back then?
Okay, I remember playing X-Men Legends and being pissed off at my cousin for not letting me win. wait, I did not mean to do that. Okay, so for me and my round, I don't think we have one yet, so I am going to choose a fighter. I am going to choose the one and only. Marvel versus Capcom 2. Marvel versus Capcom really was the first time that I really started getting into like comic characters. Because it was just like everybody was playing it at the arcades and stuff like that. And then once we got it on the PlayStation, we started playing it a lot. And I used to run with Gambit, of course, Akuma. And sometimes I would run with Wolverine, and then sometimes I would run with Juggernaut. But for the most part, it was Gambit and Akuma off top, and then I would choose another. Like when I was trying to learn who else I wanted the main, I would choose Gambit and Akuma every time, and then choose somebody else to try to choose them the main with. I was pretty good with Stryker. I like Stryker as well. Stryker was one of my favorite characters, even though I didn't know what game he came from. A lot of the Capcom characters were just like, I didn't really know what game they came from. I just was playing with them just to see. But for the most part, any Marvel character, I was like, yeah, let me play with them. And mostly, mainly X-Men characters, honestly. Because it was like, at that time when that game came out, outside of X-Men characters, if you weren't a comic book nerd, you really didn't know any of the Marvel characters like that. I play with Iron Man every now and then because there was an Iron Man and Friends game at the arcade as well. So I was like, oh, I know that guy. So I choose Iron Man sometime. But for the most part, you didn't really know any Marvel characters outside of X-Men, because X-Men was like really, really popular with their TV show at that time. And then Spider-Man, of course, you know. But, you know, other than that, like, I just used to love playing that game. I used to get my ass whooped a lot, but that's what I was expecting out of Jump Force. When it came out, they were like, oh, yeah, you can choose three characters. I was like, oh, we're going to get something like Marvel vs. Capcom. And then to find out they were all sharing the same fucking power bar, that was like crazy. I was like, bro, why are we sharing the same power bar when we got three different characters? And that pissed me off a lot. I think that was a big issue for Jump Force. But Marvel vs. Capcom 2 was the fighter game for me outside of Mortal Kombat. But I couldn't figure out which Mortal Kombat would that I love so much, so I went with Marvel vs. Capcom 2. But yeah. Double O, round six. What do you have for us?
So for round six, my other game to go on the same level with Jak and Daxter is
Ratchet and Clank.
Ratchet and Clank.
Ratchet and Clank.
Hell yeah. Yo, I love those games. And I know it's inevitable. It goes on sale every so often, like even the newer ones. And I'm just like, those are one of those games where like I got them back in the day when achievements weren't a thing. Like they had their own in-game achievements. Mm-hmm. And the reason why that matters is because it's when games were games. And what mm-hmm. I mean by that is like people love, like no one wants to have to completely beat the game unless there's a new game plus, which is the really good thing about the Ratchet and Clank games. You didn't have to do everything in one run, and in order to kill the monotony of like, oh, that a lot of games actually suffer from an end game where it's like, oh, let me go to this is the best place to go farm because there's this many enemies and I need this many kills with this weapon in order to maximize it or whatever, or I need that many kills with this to unlock one of the challenge to complete a challenge or whatever. So the game offered you a new game plus. You take all your stuff over, everything that you've gotten from items to weapons, and you can take on in your new game plus. It wasn't like you were stuck in the difficulty that you were in. You could decide to do the harder mode with all the shit that you got. So that was always a plus of those games. That's why I'm like, for me, I remember nothing but joy when I think about those games. And it's so fun. There's so many different armors you can get. Just like Jak and Daxter. I think they were both from Insomniac, right? The mm-hmm. studios yeah. are both.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, the humor, fucking Captain Quark's dumbass.
did they remaster that as well? Ratchet and Clank?
I believe they did, but they also did have new games for the new gen as well.
Yeah. I think at one point they do have like a battle, like a fighting game for Ratchet and Clank. I can't remember what it's called.
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a racing game too.
Oh, please stop this.
But yeah, so the story with it is really quirky and cool. So like, of course, Ratchet and Clank, it's like a Pinky in the Brain situation. And if I remember correctly, the person who voices Ratchet is Jaleel White, I think.
What?
If I remember that correctly. Let me look it up real quick before I just start spewing bullshit.
I like that.
But I remember being shocked because I remember him being the voice of Ratchet being the voice of Sonic.
Uh-huh.
Let me see voice actors.
It says Ratchet is James Arnold Taylor.
Yeah, James Arnold Taylor.
Is it? So yeah. What am I thinking of?
Uh-huh.
Oh, this is the game. Oh, this is not the game. This is the movie.
Oh, he was the voice actor in the movie?
No. I'm looking at like when I looked up voice actor, the film was the first thing that came up.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, Jaleel White really, honestly and truthfully, is underrated and should have did more voice acting work, to be honest.
Uh, He's voiced by Michael Kelly in the first game and Arnold Taylor since the second game. I'm like, was it this that I'm... I remember being shocked that someone voiced something, and I remember one of them being... one of them was Jaleel White. Maybe it wasn't this. Oh, well, so there you go. I'll give you a little bullshit at first.
But, okay. Bo, next up. What you got?
Let me see. What am I going to pick for my... I'm going to fighting game. I'm going to fighting game. This one. I'm going to go with... let's see. Power Stone. Yeah, let's go with that.
Oh, that's a great, nice game.
Power Stone. If you didn't have a second Dreamcast, you didn't play a Power Stone, okay? You're missing out back then, okay? Power Stone was... it's basically impossible when you have like four players and you're basically like in this whole like area and everyone plays. It's kind of like a more 3D flat version of Smash Brothers, but without like the platforming and shit. Okay, and the thing about Power Stone is that basically you fight, you gotta get a Power Stone. When you get Power Stone, then you get the power up, and then you can just start fucking up people. Okay. When you get powered up. It was like one of the best fighting games. Yeah, I can't remember the characters too well, but it was like that was the game that I'd be like looking forward to playing every time. Whenever I go to one of my friends' house. Like I swear I felt like I was like one of the friends that, you know, I just come to the friends who have the best game. Like you'd be like, hey man, you wanna play some Power Stone? Wanna play some Power Stone? Like Boris, like Bo. Like I'm doing something. Like, want to play Power Stone? Like, no, Bo, come here. I was like, I don't want to play Power Stone. That game was like great. It was a great game at the time. Sega Dreamcast. I wish it came out. I don't know why they can't port to. They put a PC on. Now I gotta check if they port the PC. But that's kind of what they do. Kind of wish it got ported to different platforms. I mean. Because now again, not a lot of people know what Power Stone is. I mean, it's like basically like one of those games that is just so ancient. Like when you mention Power Stone, be like, okay, Power Stone, yeah, Power Stone. Like people today will know what Power Stone is. Like it's one of those games. Like if you didn't live like back in the 90s, then you don't know what Power Stone is. Like, but yeah, Power Stone is one of those games that, as I said, you can have like sitting in the couch with your friends and play. Four player fighting game. Basically, the game itself tells you what it is. Power Stone. You beat up people. You get some amount of power stones, and you get the power, and then you can just like wheel on people. And the thing about Power Stone is that you can basically beat up someone. So basically, you have like, I can't remember how many power stones you need to like power up, but basically, when you have, you can basically like beat up people who has a power stone, and then take the power stone, and then level, and then get the power up that way. So it's like, you know, you're trying to see who can get the power up to have the advantage of winning. But then again, the thing about the game is you don't necessarily have to have the power to win. You just have to be good in the game. So that's what one game, like, you got to be, you have, like, the get good mentality. So if you ain't good, you just suck, okay? but, yeah, that's possibly one of the games back then. Good game. Wish it was. They could just remake it anyway. Like, I'm pretty sure they could just remake it. Sega has the money to do it. I don't see why. They have like Final Fantasy Online going on and some Sonic games. So I don't see why they can't like put effort into making it a remake of it. So,
right. You brought up getting good, and that was the game that it. You have to really get good. You can't just know how to play it. Cuphead for me. There's no cheat code.
I remember that.
There's no cheat codes. There's no like way around it. You have to get good at this game. And it was one of my favorite games because I'm one of those people, like, if I kind of get into a game and then it's like challenging, it'll make me want to play it more. So like Cuphead, it would be like, oh man, I want to play this again. I want to play it again. And what frustrated me the most about Cuphead was when you died, they had that little ladder that would show you how close you were to beating the boss. And you're like, oh, I was so close. So you do it again. And then you're like, oh, it's like, I think they did that on purpose to make you get addicted to the game. Because
he was out here cursing his kids out.
Bro, I was so addicted to that game. Like, I had to, like, I was playing it, like you said, cussing my kids out. I was playing it with my kids at first, but then I was like, nope, you know what? Just turn your controller off. I'm tired of saving you. I'm tired of trying to play for you. Your bullets get in my way and they're distracting, like all that stuff. So get out of the way. And I just played it on one player mode. And I got all the way to the devil himself. And then I was like, you know, I'm gonna watch somebody on YouTube beat it. Because like the devil was just way too fucking hard and I never beat it. Actually, that should be a game that I should play on stream too, because I'd never beat that game. And that's a shame. But it was like one of my favorite games, bro. Like, I loved Cuphead. I actually was disappointed in the TV show.
In the show, like, yeah.
A lot of people love it. You know what I'm saying? A lot of kids and stuff like that. But I thought it was going to be a storyline of them literally trying to get all the soul contracts. And I thought that was going to be fire. I was excited about that show. But a lot of people weren't. But yeah. I'll let you go again, 00. We can make this the final round.
Okay. So let me see. Story. No, I'm gonna go with I have one in mind. This was my for those who don't know, the way that the draft is done is you try really hard to, you do want to save a lot of really good picks for the end, but you want to get the ones that you believe people will commonly say out of the way first so that you don't get your picks sniped. Luckily, we're all over the place with our picks. So I was able to keep this in the tuck until now. So since this is our last round. That's our last round?
Yeah.
Okay. Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time.
I was like, oh, are we going to choose Breath of the Wild?
No, no. Funny enough. I've had it for months, bro. I recently started playing it because Tears of the Kingdom came out. I mean, War Crimes of the Kingdom. The way people are just making things and torturing the bad guys. Someone even said that like the little things you're supposed to be rescuing, the what are they called? The Koroks. They were just like, I think they're all lining up to side with Ganondorf this time around, because the way Link is just terrorizing Hyrule.
Terrible.
But yeah, so I picked Ocarina of Time. So those who aren't super privy to all the timey-wimey stuff that goes on with Legend of Zelda, there's multiple timelines. I love that one in particular. That timeline is called the Hero of Time. Link wins in that timeline. And he essentially defeats Ganondorf at the end, and he is sent back in time. Well, it's a weird timey-wimey stuff, right? And one section, you're sealed because you needed to be more mature or whatever to be able to do your duties. You were a child when Zelda first met you. And on the other hand, they like to call them the Fallen Timeline. And again, I love The Legend of Zelda, but I'm not exactly the expert to be the one giving a class about this. So please feel free to correct me. I know I'm going to be wrong on a lot of that stuff. So they do send you back in time when you finish Ocarina of Time, which leads into... I believe it's called like the Hero of the Moon something. So it leads into you becoming a kid again, and that leads into the sequel, Majora's Mask, where you get the different masks, they give you different powers. So, you know, shout out to Majora's Mask. it's a game that fucking threw me for a loop as a child, because honestly, I felt like as a child, I had no business playing the sequel, Majora's Mask, because trust, you can get a 64 emulator. I mean, you know, you can find a way to play Majora's Mask. That doesn't belong, Nintendo, don't come for me. and go and to see what I'm talking about, the fact that a kid was supposed to figure this out, I'm like, was I stupid? Like, because I went back as an adult and I'm just like, there's no way that a kid just automatically got what to do, because that shit gave me anxiety. When you launch into Majora's Mask, you're literally given a weird ass clock and you're being timed that says you have 3 days before the moon crashes into Hyrule. So you have to do everything in these three days. You know, like there's ways to rewind time and shit like that. But fucking little kid me is like, oh shit. Like, I'm in the middle of doing this. What if the moon crashes? Like, I'm constantly like aware. And the anxiety of it all originally kept me from playing it. So that kind of, yeah. But Ocarina of Time, to say three things about it. The storyline, I feel like, was really good. They introduce you to the sages when you wake up. You have to get their medallions and shit like that. I definitely like the side quests of getting weapons. You get a really big ass sword that doesn't break when you got to do a quest for it. You also end up getting what I believe to be the best shield in the game. People will argue. The mirror shield. You're able to deflect ice and heat. You're able to deflect heat, deflect electric, and you can absorb ice. Yeah, because in absorbing ice, you can then reflect the ice back onto people. So yeah. Ocarina of Time.
Ooh, I feel like we need more rounds.
I like how you put Arcadia.
I'm like Arcadia.
My bad, guys. don't tell it. Nobody can see that but us. Don't embarrass.
It's like, actually, Steve, what you did there was not, as I can hear Rob, not them. Well, actually, motherfucker. Well, actually,
for me, I'm gonna go with this Metal Gear Rising.
That's a sleeper. Yes,
real sleeper. Like, dude. People don't like it because writing is in there. Like, bro, that's what makes the game fun, because writing is in it. Like, dude,
you can almost literally slice everything there.
Slice everything. And then back then, whenever the Kinect was a thing for the Xbox 360, man, you could just basically like do Fruit Ninja in that game. Like, it was fun. Like, I don't know how people could just sleep on this game. I just hate on writing so much. Like, man, it was good. Fighting every boss and then slicing everything in the game was just so fun. Even the last boss was like fun to beat, because look, fucking dude was just all jacked up and sweat. And because the boss was just like, he was like just a guy in his suit who was like the bad guy, but just, he wasn't the one that swore, just like a regular guy. And then next thing you know, he just gained all this big ass muscle, like, you know, like I am him type of muscle. I'm like, okay, cool. And then Ryan just came in here like trying like toss some punches and shit. Like that combo was, that was like a quick time event too, because you were smashing buttons when Ryan was doing that. Like, that game was just slept on. Like, I don't know why no one even liked it at that, because it was so good. Like, writing story. If there was a part two of that game, I would definitely play it. Like, writing stories is interesting. Like, I don't know how people could just sleep on the game like that. Because, dude, you're like I said, like, 006, you literally just slice up everything. Like, slaps up, like, bad guys and dude. Like, when he kills someone, like, when you just see him, when you see the, like, enemy just, like, fall into the ground and knee, you could just sweep, freeze time, and they're just slicing just to, like, not give a fuck, because, you know, he's already dead anyway, just falling on his knees. You just slice him in half if you want to. Like he's like, fume, like, yeah, I know you're dead, but you know, I
want to touch you. Freaking Raiden feeding off of the spinal cord, just going,
oh, yeah, that was fun. That was awesome. But yeah, that game was so fun, man. I'm surprised even when in game gave me, yeah, but then yeah, I think it was like a lot of games that came out that was for that, yeah. But yeah. But it was, yeah, that game was so slept on. Like, I played that game only because I was a Metal Gear head person. So I play every Metal Gear game. So I came across it, played it. It was fun. Definitely fun. I beat it twice. Actually, for the boss, three times because it was just too fun to play. The final boss, at least. But yeah, it's a great game. Like, Metal Gear Rising. They can do nah, ain't gonna do. It just is the way it is. So, but yeah, good game. Definitely one of the sleepers game that I played. That I enjoyed.
Dang, I'm thinking about so many different games because we only got one pick left. I'm like, oh, which one do I want to choose? We can do honorable mentions
after. Yeah, we can do honorable mentions.
We do honorable mentions. Yeah,
I'm gonna go then. Oh man, I'm gonna go with the Hitman franchise. I really, really enjoy playing as Agent 46, and like I just really, really enjoy the Hitman franchise and just finding different ways to, in a sense, kill. I mean, it is what I'm doing, kill people. I try to like get 100% on each map before I go to the next one. Trying to like kill people with like the lampshades and stuff, or the chandelier, trying to make that happen, or like just different ways because they have all those different like ways that you can try to get, and you can get the different rewards and stuff like that. Even like blowing up a bomb or something like that, the one that I didn't know, but is like my favorite kill to do is to like put the rat poison in their drink, and then they run to the bathroom to go throw up, and then you come out of the closet in the bathroom, you push their head in the toilet and drown them in the toilet. Like, oh man, I love fucking Hitman. Hitman is like one of my favorite games. But dang man, I got so many different ones, but I'm gonna go with Hitman for the final pick in the draft. Oh, all right. Let's do honorable mentions. I have to go with Pokemon Crystal. That's that's my favorite Pokemon. Pokemon Crystal. I don't know if Hydro likes that one, if it's Hydro approved, but it is Scuba Steve approved. Pokemon Crystal is like fire for me. I really enjoyed that one. Pokemon Crystal, that would be my first honorable mention.
My first honorable mention is going to be a GOAT. It's going to be The Force Unleashed.
Ah, yeah.
Let's go. Yeah. Like, come on, yo. Everybody has been wanting to make fucking Starkiller canon. And so rumor is they're going to make him canon, but not necessarily, obviously, the story that we know, because he would be too powerful. Because he made Vader afraid of him. Mm. That's why Vader fucking murked him. If I remember that correctly.
Yeah, he did.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Force Unleashed.
Bo, honorable mention.
Let me see. Honorable mentions.
Just one. We're going to go around.
Okay. Let's go with Tekken 7.
Tekken 7, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go.
Because Rage classes, Rage mode, Rage ops in Tekken was like, it's like best choice to add supers for fighting game. So.
I'm going to go with Bloody Roar. That was like one of my favorite games. I really wish if they would come out with a new one. Bloody Roar was just my fighting game that I was really, really good at. I had figured out how to do the sidestep on there as well, so I was like impossible to beat. Bloody Roar was fire. Y'all got any more, or do I want to go down a list?
I'm gonna go with Killer Instinct.
Killer Instinct. Okay. Killer Instinct was fun in the arcade. When they came out with it on Xbox One or whatever, I was like, okay, this is just if you get punched, you're gonna lose. You get punched one time, you're gonna lose because the combos were like endless. I was like, dog, I can't do anything to stop this.
So I'm like, let me see. Not so for me, it's more of franchise because I'm not, at least not recently, not really into like FGC that much. But the Mortal Kombat storyline for like the games is actually a really good storyline. I mean, crazy.
Yeah.
But it's actually a pretty consistent storyline.
This is facts.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I understand why people really do like the games and stuff like that and have ties to a lot of the characters. And why some people are pissed. They're like, let Liu Kang stay dead.
Yeah.
Like, y'all keep bringing him back. Like we didn't like when you did this shit with Kung Lao. Like, let the motherfuckers die.
Well, he's not a god now, so.
Yeah, now it's the regular Liu Kang because this is the revamp.
Yep.
I'll say Assassin's Creed as a franchise was really good.
Yes, sir.
I really loved Tomb Raider 3 back in the day. And then Halo 2, dual pistols, was like mind-blowing for us when we were playing Halo. It was like, bro, what? You got two?
Man, two pistols?
That changed the game because I would just charge up that green one, knock off your shield, and then a quick little pistol headshot, and it was over. I was very much so playing Halo a lot. What else? Is there anything else that I want to say?
Let me see. This is one of the game I was going to say. What was that game again? Well, there's a game called Lost Odyssey. That was on 360.
Okay.
Lost Odyssey. It's a good game. It's basically like it's role-playing, turn-based RPG. Had a good story and it all. It's actually a great game. I wish they... Because when I beat it, it had like that... it had an ending that said that it could be a part two. But I don't know if it ever made a big part two. But Lost was a great game, 360. Another one I want to point out as well, Crysis, the series.
Okay, yeah, I like Crysis.
Yeah. Crysis was like one of those games that you just play for fun. It's kind of like, I think of Crysis, they had like the multiplayer version, which was trying to be kind of close to Cody, but it wasn't that like Cody type feel. It had its own like multiplayer aspect with the shields and everything, so it was cool. I like Crysis game. Crysis was good.
And Super Smash Brothers.
I don't know why. The weird. That's such a weird storyline to Smash Brothers. Fucking hands.
Just fucking giant fucking Mario hands. But yeah.
What was that game again with that Activision made that basically you play this guy in a hoodie and like you have like this weird power you could like use to like make like red-like powers in like you were infected or something? I can't remember what it's called. It's an Activision game. It kind of you play as a white dude and then second one you play as a black dude. I can't remember what it's called. Was
the black dude.
let me see what it's called. Activision.
Well, while Bo figures that out, we're hitting the hour and 30-minute mark. So,
double prototype. There we go.
Prototype. I remember that game.
Oh, prototype. Oh, the other one is good too. Fuck. Yeah. What's the other one that came out around the same time? The one where you have electric powers.
Infamous.
Infamous, yes. Infamous. That game was goated. Infamous and Infamous 2, the Dark Suns or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I remember those.
Yeah, you find out you your own bad guy. That's crazy. Spoilers. You're the villain.
I play Infamous at Best Buy.
Yeah, that game was so good.
I never like played it like fully, but I played like it was on the screen, and I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna play this." But, Bo, go ahead and plug your socials. Let's get out of here really quick.
Okay, you can follow me on majority of my socials on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter. I know the same thing. Yep, you can follow all those as Bo Down did it. They're all in my links or all the my handle. On those ones, so Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. I have two YouTube you can follow, one for gaming and one for BS. I actually plan on doing a video for the BS one just to talk about Demon Slayer because people on Twitter apparently look. I thought One Piece fans was bad, but one Demon Slayer's fans are kind of terrible because they're just willing to spoil shit for you for the anime. But anyway, you can also follow me on Instagram. Bro, to follow me on Instagram is going to be like it's going to be Bo with a zero. So it's Bo zero and done did it. The reason I have it like that is because the Boston Terrier stole my name, so I can't use that name. So if you were to type in Bo done did it, you will see Boston Terrier. As a profile picture, which is not me. I am not a Boston Terrier. Follow me with the bow with a zero. Done did it. And that's how you can find me on Instagram. And with that being said, after this stream, after this recording, I am going to stream. So then again, this is not live, so I don't know what I'm telling you guys. But, you know, you will eventually find me on Twitch whenever I stream. But so follow me on Twitch if you want to see me stream.
Follow him on Twitch.
Fair enough. Double O.
What's going on? Double O status, aka your favorite MI6 station. You can find me at TrinoForest, LinkTr.ee/double-o status. Twitter is my bread and butter. You will always find me on Twitter replying to people, retweeting, looking at conversations. You could throw words at me. I might look at you and be like, okay, I'm going to respond. I'm also on TikTok. I need to start making content again, but I am active on TikTok as far as like I'm in the comment section all the time of videos that I'm reposting or looking at. But yeah, I definitely need to get back on the content. But TikTok, everything across the board for me is double O status, so find me there.
Yes, sir. And you can find me at ScubaSteve1428 on all social media. I just released a webtoon. Shout out to
me. Yes, sir. Shout out to you.
Wake the Dead, Chapter 1. If you are looking for it, go to Webtoon, type in Wake the Dead, and it might be there. They said it takes a couple days to actually load, so I have to send the link out. So that's why I sent the link out on Twitter and all social media. So you can go to my page, click the link, and then it'll actually get into the algorithm with more reads and stuff like that. But other than that, that is it. Shout out to everybody that is not here. Catch us at MomoCon this weekend, me, Johnny, and Rob. And with that being said, deuces.
Deuces.